You're listening to Literally, the podcast where you literally get a complete behind-the-scenes peek at a one-on-one business coaching relationship and the transformation that unfolds over the course of 6 months. I'm your host, Lacey Seitz, business mentor and success coach, and the founder of A Lit Up Life. These are recordings of actual coaching sessions with one of my clients where you get to experience her journey right along with her and gain insight into building your own lit up life and the business that you desire.
Hi guys, welcome to session 6. Oh my gosh, I'm really pumped for this one because this is a conversation I just personally feel so passionate about that I'm really excited that it transpired and came up on the podcast, which is sort of that middle ground or that intersection of ambition and contentment, meaning, you know, where is it so healthy to like have the vision and the drive and go after what we want while also being like really content with where we're at and what that looks like. You know, I think being able to find the balance of these two is just like the most incredible superpower. So I'm really, really excited that we get to talk about it in this episode, in this session. And I think no matter where you're at in business, this is always an important inquiry. So I really hope it meets you right where you're at and supports you to figure out your own balance in this season. Good. What's going on? How you feeling?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Good. How's your week?
It's been good. Yeah, it's been good.
Big, right?
Yeah, it feels like there's a lot of energy moving and there's a lot going on and there's a lot of, I'm just like trying to stay grounded in it all.
Are you feeling grounded or are you feeling not so much?
I feel like overall I'm grounded, but I'm having more of the like, physical, like when I tune into my body, I'm having physical sensations where my nervous system's a little bit like, oh God, this is all new. And I think it's just human to want to stay in the safe zone. And I'm just stretching myself in so many different ways, like not just one way, but just so many different ways right now that I'm meeting those edges more.
Yeah, totally. And also like on top of that, you're just doing a lot of things. Like, so you're meeting the edges, but you also just have so many like moving parts at the same time. So I think that like those combined can be a lot.
Yes, exactly.
Okay. So I feel like there's so many things we could kind of dive into. I feel like we have quite a few threads of conversations running. So tell me what feels most useful.
I don't know. Like, I feel like in base camp, I have like so many things going on. But then when I was thinking about the call, I was like, I actually don't really know what like I need to bring to the call, so to speak.
So one thing here that feels important to mention is that Robin has been a really active base camp user in terms of getting more strategic and practical questions answered there so that we can dive more into mindset on sessions. I obviously always let a client lead in terms of how they want to be supported in different ways, but I wanted to say this because one, you might hear us talk a little bit less about the practical here though of course we'll get into it, but I just mean in this session specifically. But also because I think it's a really wise way to use a coaching container in many capacities, meaning for the kind of like, yes, no, do you think this or that? It's so easy to nail that in base camp. For the like, this is the identity stuff that's coming up. This is like the tension that's coming up for me. This is all the mindset edges I'm hitting. Of course, that is so much better used in a session. Again, there's no right or wrong. Of course, there's times where mindset comes up in base camp and is really important to address. And of course, there's times where the more strategic and practical come up on calls. So this is not to say make it so black and white, but it is just to showcase like this is how Robin's really kind of leaning in this season. And I think that it's supporting her really, really well because she's still able to really move forward on all that practical stuff, but she's also really able to go deep on mindset. So if you're getting your own coaching support, this can be a great way to utilize it to make sure you have the spaciousness to really dive in on your calls, but to really make sure you use that in between time to get those quick practical questions answered that help you keep moving forward.
One thing that's just felt really, really present for me in terms of the mothered business and the conversations I'm having, and just like as a as an entrepreneur in general, and maybe this is just part of my own maturity too, outside of work, but I just really think that, and I have two minds, but anyway, I'll start with the first. The first is that I just really feel like I want this offer to really infuse legacy work, you know, like to really be robust and to really offer like a really signature piece of a body of work that I cultivate that represents a decade's worth of experience that is so much more timeless than trendy, that is so much more rich and wise and meaningful and long-lasting than like formulaic processes and cheat sheets and templates and like all those things. And so then, you know, the other side of my brain goes, yeah, but like give the people what they want. Do they want that? And then the other part of my brain goes, it's really unhealthy ever in life to put so much pressure on like one thing being the thing. So it's like, okay, how can I pour so much into this so that I'm so proud of it, that it feels legacy, that it feels robust, that it feels signature, and that it's something that I can really proudly present to the world in a way that's like, yeah, like this is a nutshell of a decade's worth of business expertise, and also not attach that maybe energetic or subconscious pressure of like, this is the it. Does that make sense?
Totally. It's almost like, where's the line between excellence and pressure kind of thing, right?
Yes.
So something that I think is so interesting is this conversation of the desire for legacy work, but then also how much pressure that can put on us, right? So I think that, you know, it's so natural and normal for us to have desire for our work to be impactful, to leave a legacy. You know, I think Robin is so driven by impact. And also when you really think about this idea of like, my work needs to create lasting legacy, of course pressure can like immediately show up and feels like we have to pick the right thing and it has to have the right impact immediately and all of those things. And so I just really wanted to kind of bring this conversation forward and say, there is always a balance between how am I creating legacy and how do I turn down the pressure around that. And what I have found to be true the longer I've done this is that the things that are often more impactful have no pressure around them. They're just so naturally flowing out of you, right? It's like the thing that you're just like, well, I'm just meant to say this. I'm just meant to share this. I don't even care who it lands for or how it lands. Like, this just has to come out. Is sometimes the thing that ends up being the most impactful, that ends up being the most legacy driven. So I just really wanted to share that because I think that we all naturally feel this tension quite a bit. And I think it's a really important line to keep navigating. But I also noticed that the times where we are creating the most impact and leaving the most legacy are almost always because we've turned down the pressure.
Yeah, and like when I lived in Japan, I lived there for years and I just really revere their approach to simplicity and like refinement and being masters of something. And like that is a core value of mine. And it's something I really want to be in this, especially if I'm not offering anything outside of it. And yeah, it will be excellent. It will absolutely be. I have no doubt about that. But I also wonder about like the... Yeah, I don't know if it's like a mindset thing or if it's like my audience thing where I just come up a lot against people who just seem to want the formula. They want the silver bullet. They want the like the template. They want the like literally yesterday I had probably, I don't even know how many people be like, oh, are you selling? Because like years ago I did a Black Friday deal of like a cheat sheet thing. I think it was like 16 business cheat sheets. And people freaking love that, you know, and just like now the way I've grown and also the way our industry has shifted and the way things have evolved, like I don't want to create anything like that anymore because that's not what's going to get people results. Mm-hmm. It was easier in 2019 to like have success. Like now people are smarter consumers. There's more noise. There's like all these other things. So like what they need really is the depth. They really need that like timelessness. They need the real business principles and foundations. So I don't know like where the problem is, if it's my mindset, making assumptions that people don't want that, whether it's that, I don't know. Yeah. I'm just throwing a lot at you.
No, totally fine. I think there's almost like two ways to run a business in our space. And I think the first way is give the people what they want. And I think the second way is capture all the people who got what they thought they wanted and realized it didn't work. Mm-hmm. Right? Neither are wrong necessarily, right? But like, there is a bit of a pick a lane mentality. I think that comes with that to a certain extent, where it's like, if you want to sell depth, wisdom, like all of that kind of stuff, you're probably going to have to get the people that realize the templates don't work. Mm-hmm. Because all of our brains just want that. Like, it's so human, right? Do you know what totally. I mean? It's like, well, that seems way easier. Like, you know, it's like how I spent years thinking that I could just buy, you know, meal plans from like an influencer on Instagram. And then magically I would just follow them and it would be so easy until I realized like, oh, that's not actually how that works. Interesting. So I think what you're coming up against is real in the sense that they do want that. And you probably could build a really successful business giving them that. And also, if you don't want to, it doesn't mean you still can't have a successful business. But I do think you have to know what angle you're coming at it from. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that feel true for you, or what comes up there?
Yeah, it totally feels true for me. And it's just like, you know, I could hit the easy button and create shit tons of those like cheat sheet template things. And like, that's just not my values. That's not where my soul is. That's not the kind of conversations I like to have. That's not the kind of coach I want to be, really. Like, I want people who
it's not your legacy work.
Yeah, exactly. I really want to work with people who are not here for a dine and dash business.
Mm-hmm. Which is what you're going to have to start saying in your marketing, I think, is the other thing, right? So it's sort of like, you know how we were talking about how like you focus more on attract versus repel.
Yeah.
You're almost going to have to double down on repel a little bit of like, I'm not here for the dine and dash thing. I'm not your person for templates. That's not what I'm about. Like, if that's what you want, there are a million other places online you can go get it.
Yeah. And I think where I get that blurriness is that I do give people templates for systems. Mm-hmm. Because I think systems are essential to not working inside your business all the time, and also for moms and busy people who like just can't do it, or also are earlier in their business and can't afford a huge team. So mm-hmm, like, mm-hmm. I don't want that to get lost in the noise, that I do give you pretty much done for you. You just copy and paste it into your stuff for the systems. But yeah, I think you're right. I need to go harder in my messaging.
Yeah. And you can share the nuance of that too. And, or like, if that's what they want and it is part of what you give, you can also make that part of your lead-in too. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, yes, I will give you templates for systems. Here's one, buy it for $69. But if you want templates beyond that of like what you're supposed to say on social media, I'm not your girl and here's why.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I don't touch that. I mean, yeah, we have conversations about it, but I'm not going to give you copy-paste.
So I think that like, again, I think you're still kind of picking a lane there. So it's like, if they want the templates, do you want to start giving system templates? Do you want to start selling that? Or do you want that to almost be like the surprise, you know?
Yeah, I want that to be the surprise. I like to overgive behind the scenes.
Yeah. Then, I mean, you know this, but then I think you're going to have to really double down on this idea of like almost going like repel and against this whole, you know, philosophy around like, I want the system, I want the formula, right? Mm-hmm. Because even when you're giving them a systems template, I imagine there's like a lot of context to what you're giving them and stuff like that too. It's not just like, here, everyone use this one system. Thanks. Bye.
No, but that just doesn't work.
So I obviously made a sweeping and broad generalization here, but I do think that it is true that there are kind of two ways to think about your business. Like, am I going to create kind of like the formula and the steps, which I'm not even saying that's wrong. I think sometimes that can be really, really helpful. The template, the formula, the steps, I love that, right? I think in many ways, Dateable is that business. We are like a template, a formula, steps, right? Or there's more of the like depth, the like, I don't have just one way. It kind of depends, like sort of more how I run a little life. And so it's not to say there's anything wrong with any of these, though I do think some of the ways that each get built can be wrong. Like certainly the formulaic way of there's only one way and it's my way and you have to do it. Like that's not what I personally believe in, right? But the idea of building a business based on steps or formula is not wrong. But it is really helpful to not try to have to be both for everyone, you know, to try to be like, let me give you all the templates and all the processes and all the step-by-step. And then also let me go super deep and tell you, it doesn't matter if you follow it. And I think we can put so much pressure on ourselves to be all the things to everyone. And so I think just being able to see like different businesses may have different pieces of this or may lean much harder into different pieces, right? So of course, a lit up life, we lean much, much harder into depth, but I certainly have templates that I give my clients. You know, Megan has made a lot of them, but we certainly do support in that way when we can, but we know what our most important angle is. We know what our most important selling point is, and we know what our model is. So I just really wanted to say that it's not like you have to be all or nothing or that one is good and one is bad. It's really about kind of knowing your angle and leaning in there the most. And then obviously you're gonna add a bit of each. Again, it's not like at Datable, we don't go deep. Like we love to look at your data, personalize it, figure out what's going on in your business, all of those things. But at the end of the day, we're more of the formula, right? A lit up life is the exact opposite. And so just wanting to like give perspective and permission there, but say that knowing which one you are and like leaning into that and making that work for you can be really important. Is there any resistance to that when we speak to that of like, you're kind of capturing the people who have tried the other things, you're gonna have to speak to that, blah, blah, blah. Is there like, does that feel good, bad, indifferent?
No, I think it feels good. Yeah, I think I'm just on this, like, I'm just feeling this weird edge of newness and letting stuff go, right? And things mm-hmm. that have worked well in the past that are no longer part of the future, letting them go. And I think that's one of the hardest things I know that I help my clients with is like when something has worked, to like say it's okay, like you're safe to let that go. Something else can work and it can work better for you, but you are going to have that like messy middle.
Well, I think it's especially hard for you. I think you kind of named this a little bit, but I think it's important to say is like, you didn't not only think your business was fine, you loved it how it was too.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think that that was really tough in many ways because it's like breaking up with the guy who's great.
I know. He's just not forever.
Yeah. You're like, yeah. I'm probably not going to marry you, but I would stay with you for the next 4 years and be really happy.
Yeah. Right? Can we please be friends?
Yeah.
Don't leave me.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think it's just like noting the grief in that, but it's also, I think sometimes the unacknowledged grief, because it's like, nothing's even wrong. Nothing's even bad. What's so upsetting? And it's like, that's why it's upsetting, right?
Yeah, totally. Totally. And even like with the fertility cocoon, it's just been so easy. And I still have so much resistance around it, even though it was just so fucking easy. And I'm like, oh my God, this is, like, I don't even think I've allowed myself to get excited for it. I've just been like, to me, it almost feels like it's my love letter business. And I don't think I've even allowed myself to like really feel into the excitement of the vision of it and of what it could be. So I've just been maybe in the space of looking too much at like what's been good that I'm letting go of and not enough that like there's now space for so much more that can pour into that. That's going to be really beautiful too.
I hear you when you say it's like your love letter business for sure, but what's making you show up for it right now if you're not tapped into the excitement around it? Like, is it responsibility? Is it just commitment? Like, what's keeping you going there right now? Something that I think is helpful here is as a coach, when I hear Robin saying that she's not really seeing the vision, that's pretty much always a red flag for me. And so I just wanted to share that from that coach perspective or from the perspective of if you are in that position yourself and you're like, oh man, I really am not seeing the vision. Maybe that's a red flag. And now what I will say is I think different people have different ways of connecting to the vision. Some people get so, so, so clear and specific. Some people are more broad in general, but I think when you feel like I cannot connect to the vision of what this is or why I'm doing this, it really is something to look at. It really is something to go, huh, what's going on here? And I think in Robin's case in particular, especially because it felt so disconnected from her, you know, and how it could really support her. So I think that that's kind of already been a theme for Robin quite a bit. So it felt really important to dive into here. But no matter what that is for you, if you aren't feeling quite connected to the vision, it is something to look at, because as entrepreneurs, that is what is kind of our lifeline. That's what's gonna pull us forward. That's what makes it really sustainable over time, quite honestly. And so obviously that vision can change and evolve, but anytime it feels like it's kind of gone away, I think it's always an important thing to stop and reset. So if you're in that position, or if you're seeing that in a client, don't be afraid to flag that. Don't be afraid to like stop, drop, figure that out before you go any further, especially because without that, it can be easy to build something that you accidentally don't like, right? Because you're not making decisions from this really, really clear vision. So you're kind of just moving along the road. And sometimes you can get far down that road and go, wait, because I wasn't clear, I didn't even build something I actually like. I didn't even build something that I actually feel passionate about. I didn't even build something that actually supports my life. So just remember, like, yes, it can seem like no big deal at the time. And of course there are, you know, micro times where we all get a bit disconnected, but overall, this is such a crucial piece of your journey. And it's so important to identify when this is happening, see it as a red flag, and address it when it comes up.
It is just like really genuinely wanting to help people. Like, I know that sounds just so cliche, and you know, we hear it all, I just want to help people, but like just genuinely, like when you've been through what I've been through, like Yeah. You just like, I would do it for free, you know, and I have done it for free for lots of different people in a closer proximity way. It just genuinely just feels like someone's thirsty in the desert and I've got water and I want to give it to them. And I want to absolutely give that to them in a way that's like very helpful and is truly genuinely just going to change their life. But I haven't put it into the context of how it can also change my life.
All right, guys. So you will hear part of this session kind of clipped out here. It's only like 3 minutes or something like that. But if the conversation seems slightly just disjointed, that is why. I had asked Robin a personal question about money, and I led with, hey, we're going to cut this part, but let me know what you think here, because I really wanted to know that as her coach, but I do not think that it is relevant for everyone else to know that or for her to even be asked to share that. But basically, I was kind of asking her a little bit about like, what is their family situation in terms of like, what does her money mean for their family? What does that look like for them? And obviously any answer is okay there. It's just helpful to know like, where does this fit in your life? Where is the motivation coming from? And knowing the context around that is always helpful. And so I think it was a really important question for me to ask as a coach, but also not really relevant to the literally experience for us to share publicly. So I wanted to make sure we removed that part, but just wanted to share that that is something you may sometimes want to ask clients, and you can also give them the option not to share. So the way I said it to Robin was something along those lines, like, hey, we'll cut this part, but want to ask you this question. If this feels like a line for you, please don't feel like you have to answer. And if it doesn't, I think this could be useful context. Let's talk about it. So it's not like a requirement for clients to share this by any means, but again, sometimes understanding like their dynamics around money, where the motivation's coming from, what it's gonna be used for, how it impacts their family can be really helpful in understanding what's going on there. And since we've been talking about not feeling the vision, it felt like it was an important time to dive in there. So wanted to give you guys that context, wanted to give you that perspective and let you know why there was a bit clipped out here, and hope you guys enjoy the rest of the session.
I think I struggle because I'm not driven by material things. Mm-hmm. Like I literally couldn't give a flying fox about Louis Vuitton, or like, I just don't care. I care a lot about my home being comfortable and safe and my environment being beautiful. I care about that a lot. And I care a lot about vacations and traveling, but I don't care about material things. So I find it hard to, like, it's not like I can put like a purse on my vision board.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, totally.
That's my reward. It's like, I don't care.
Yeah. I mean, I think that like, obviously it can go so many directions from there, but I do think that that's just such the predominant narrative. It's easy to almost be like, well, if it's not that, then it's nothing. Do you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Like if it's not that, then it's just for my daughter. If it's not that, then it's just for helping other people kind of thing. But I also think that, like, this isn't quite how I mean to say it, but you'll know what I'm saying. But we can, like, find the selfish motives in there too. Like, maybe you want to help people because it makes your story meaningful. Or maybe you want to help people because, like, it just really fucking, like, does something for you and you feel, like, really good at night and it, like, feeds your ego a little bit or whatever. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think, like, and none of that is bad. Like, mm-hmm. you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing. But I think feeling like there is something really, really, really clearly in it for you versus it being just about other people is probably, like, so important in this season. And it almost doesn't matter what it is. But I think that it came up because with Fertility Cocoon, it's like I'm not even in the vision and excitement, which tells me, like, I'm almost approaching it from this sort of, like, I'm doing this for everyone else instead of, like, I am so excited about what this does for me, you know?
Yeah, like, and, you know, when you say that, I feel like if I was to really think about it, it truly is probably so that everything I've gone through isn't for nothing.
Yeah.
That there's something good, because otherwise, like, there hasn't been anything good that I can necessarily, like, see yet. I know I will eventually when there's been enough bird's eye view. But, like, yeah, you know, we're meaning makers as humans. And I think it is definitely part of me making meaning of my struggle. But yeah, like, in and of itself, that doesn't give me excitement, because in and of itself, that's just, like, it's almost the thing that makes me resist it, because then it also represents the space that I kind of want to just, like, run away from, you know, where it's like, ooh. And so, yeah, like, the thing that makes me excited about it is, like, I have to really get clear on that, because I'm excited. Genuinely, I'm so excited about someone else avoiding the hell I went through, if possible. But for me, and, like, that is motivation enough for me, but it's not something that's, like, yeah, I'm struggling to find the words. I just feel it.
It's interesting, because I know you've gotten so, so, so much response to sharing your story.
Yeah.
And so what kind of came up for me as you were just speaking is that the meaning you were looking for, the meaning making, kind of just already occurred. Like, that box is almost already checked by, like, the, like, outpouring of, you know, feedback and comments and responses you've gotten. And so I wonder if it's, like, almost like a weird orientation now of, like, oh, okay, this business was to make meaning there. Now I'm feeling a lot of it because I've had, you know, so much come to me from sharing my story. And so now I need to almost, like, reorient to what the business means to me in this. Does that feel true?
Yeah. And I do feel like the one I'm going to be working with, I care about them so deeply. I believe in them and their work so deeply. And as, like, the more business acumen side of it, I feel excitement about, like, making it successful so that their lives can change too. Like, that excites me. But maybe I need to dream bigger. Mm-hmm. Like, maybe that's what's coming up for me. That I've just, like, been in this space where I've had so much energy going into my fertility journey that I kind of forgot about things outside of it that could be bigger.
I really feel that for you and what you're saying. And I think it's almost like what you're, like, I don't know if, like, accidentally on purpose fits here, but it feels like it does. But you're, like, accidentally on purpose being called to. It's, like, even in, like, letting go of one-on-one more and stuff like that. Do you know what I mean? It's, like, you're kind of, like, being pulled into, like, think bigger, go bigger, dream bigger. What does this look like? And so I feel like you can almost hit the brakes for that and be like, no, no, no. This is just about other people. This is just to help them. Stop, 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 stop. Right? And I think they're – is of an energy of, like, oh, wait, this is for me too.
Yeah.
So I kind of mentioned this in the introduction, but I just think there is such a fine line of contentment and wanting more. And I think being able to find your own personal balance in that is so crucial. Like, I think one of the reasons I've been able to build a business that I love for so many years is because I feel so content in it. I feel so happy. I talk all the time about, like, do the thing that you would just love to do every day, and then the business kind of builds itself, right? It kind of takes care of itself because you're so sustainable in doing something that you actually love. But also, without that vision, without wanting more, without having like a personal stake in that, of course, at a certain point, contentment can kind of really easily shift to coasting, right? Contentment can kind of really easily shift to ambivalence, right? So for me, that balance of being really content with where I'm at and wanting more, it's almost like that polarity of what keeps both really juicy, like being so happy with where I'm at in a way that doesn't become like coasting or ambivalence while wanting more is sort of what makes both feel really exciting. It's what keeps the contentment actually contentment and not coasting, right? It's what keeps the wanting more actually exciting and not this push or pressure or forced thing. So for me, I really am always trying to lean into a bit of both. But again, I think this looks different for everyone. And I think at different seasons, we may have different balances. Like I know in the previous probably year and a half of my business, right? I was definitely in more of a contentment phase. Like I had a baby, you know, Bennett has just now turned, well, he'll be 20 months in about a week, right? So for most of that time, I leaned much harder into contentment in my business while still wanting more. And I feel like I'm moving into a bit of a season of like, oh, okay, I do want to like shift this balance a little. Like I do want to go for it a little bit more while still living into contentment. But again, I think that can change with the seasons. As long as they are both present and kind of providing that bounce off each other, I think it can be really juicy. But when you kind of lost one or the other, I do think that it can kind of, I think the wanting more can transition to pressure, or I think again, that contentment can transfer to ambivalence. So I think having a mix is really, really important. I could go on about this forever, but just wanted to say that because I think this is such an important conversation that we should all be thinking about.
Yeah, and this conditioning is really deep because I was the firstborn. My family had a hard, like, we were immigrants. There was like financial stuff. And so I just like always kind of took it on to care for the brothers, to like make sure everyone was good, to be the glue, so to speak. And I feel like now I'm being called to like be like, what do you want?
Yeah. Even like thinking about age of your daughter and things we've talked about there too, right? Things in your family dynamic, whatever, like it feels like every road you look down is like, what do you want, Robin? You know?
Yeah.
We're like in that scene in The Notebook, you know? What do you want?
Yeah. And it's so crazy because I've always been so clear on what I want, but it's almost like other than our second baby, like I always wanted this like really beautiful marriage. And like the thing I'm proudest of in my life is my marriage. It's just, it's so much more beautiful and rich and wonderful and intimate than anything I could have ever imagined. And like, I wouldn't even have believed it was possible kind of thing. And I love our home. I'm so comfortable in our home. I always wanted to be a mom. I'm a mom. I feel so deeply fulfilled by my work. Like I feel like a lot of the things that I dreamt of when I was 12, 14.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those things in and of themselves felt far away. Like they've come true.
Yeah.
And so it's like, I'm just so deeply, deeply, deeply grateful for what I have. That now it's like, whoa, like what is even possible? You know, and it's like the better it gets, the better it gets. But like, what is the better?
Yeah, totally. And I mean, you know, I think it's worth noting, like, it doesn't mean it has to be anything beyond that. If you're like, I have everything I want, I don't want a fucking another thing. Like, that's okay too. And like, you get to build a business that cultivates that too, where you're like, it's not about how fast it can scale or whatever. It's about what is a business that leaves all these other things perfectly intact the way they are because I'm obsessed, right? Or what is a business that gives me time for all of these things or whatever? Like, it doesn't mean you have to want more than that per se, right? But I also don't think you want to not ask yourself that question, right?
Yeah.
I don't think you want to stop there where it's just like, okay, I had the things I would have said when I was 12 and now I'm complete. Like, I think that's only right if it's right after you've done that inquiry. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And I, like, as you're sitting here, I'm like, I don't know if it's because I'm scared of not being grateful and then like being outside of the energy of gratitude, or if I genuinely don't think that like it gets better. Yeah. Like, I think better for me would be like literally never having to worry about money ever. Like, I think that would be like very, very liberating to be like, you know, and I would have a number for that, but I've never even thought that that would be possible, I think.
Yeah. Like, I think that's what we're getting into, right? Where it's like, that becomes motivating in a different way. Where like, it's not like that's the whole purpose or that's the reason behind every single decision you'd ever make in business or whatever, but it's like unlocking a new layer of like, this is part of why I'm doing what I'm doing because it might take us here. And I think there's something to that that doesn't take away from anything that you already have. But I definitely hear you on the like, sometimes it's scary when things are really good and what we want to do is protect that. And I think that especially comes up, I imagine, after what happened to you. Like,
yeah,
you probably were like, things are perfect. And then it got ripped away.
Yeah.
And like, your nervous system is like, do not ask for more. Do not want more. Do not, right? Like, do not get anything else taken away. So like, it totally makes sense, but it also might be the medicine, you know?
Yeah. Like, that makes me want to cry. I think now I'm like really scared to want something.
Yeah, totally. The fear of the grief and disappointment that could come with wanting is so, so intense, right?
Yeah. And also I think I just have this like weird like experience of like not being in control of that. Which is so different to business because we have so much more control. But we still don't have all the control, obviously, but
Totally.
But it's a different thing. So I also think I'm just in this weird place of like, you have no control anyway.
Why bother wanting?
Yeah, like why? Yeah.
I mean, there's something interesting about thinking about how like, because that's what keeps us alive. Like, I mean, I know that sounds so dramatic, right? But it's like, I feel like part of being human is that aliveness of desire within us, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that tapping into that fuels like so many things like creativity and excitement and some of the stuff that you were talking about, like not feeling earlier, like some of that excitement and vision and all of that. And so I don't think that you have to be in a rush to like, oh my God, channel all of this tomorrow and feel it so deeply and like all of this. But I also do think that like it feels like a lean in there is so relevant in this season for you of like, can it be safe to want again? Can it be safe to desire again? Can it be safe to go for something again, even knowing like you might not have control over getting it? I think what Robin really landed on in identifying that fear of being scared to want more while not feeling totally in control of getting it is so relevant for so many of us. You guys know I always joke that I'm a recovering control freak and the recovering part is questionable. But I think that when we get a lot of our safety from control, the idea of wanting something that we don't have control over can be really, really terrifying. And so there are ways of just, number one, identifying that, right? Like, I think just knowing like this is where the fear is coming from is so important. But I also think getting back into a season to find the places where you do feel empowered and you do feel some sense of control is so helpful as well. Alongside surrender, you know, reminds me so much of that Mike Julie triangle exercise where it's like you put the thing you want at the top, you draw a line down the middle, one side is like what you can do to get it, one side is kind of what you're surrendering to the universe. And I think that is, again, that balance that we're all trying to kind of come to. I feel like all of this is really about some of that balance of like formula, you know, versus depth, contentment versus wanting more, the desire without the control. You know, all of this is just us trying to find balance, I think, in what we're doing. And obviously that word means so many different things for so many different people, but I just really wanted to identify here for you that that could be what's coming up for you if you find yourself in a season of feeling like really unsafe, really not in control, and scared to want more because of it. And I'm just so grateful to Robin for kind of bringing that forward so we can identify that in ourselves and obviously see how that unfolds for her, see how she builds evidence around that, and see how that continues to shift through her throughout the season.
Yeah, I really need to lean into this. There's also like shame and guilt around like secondary infertility. I read in a book, I don't know if I've shared this with you, but I read in a book that it feels like you're going for leftovers when some people haven't even had their first meal.
That gave me goosebumps. Yeah. Yeah.
And I've really felt that.
Yeah.
And I kind of feel like that in business too. I think like I'm good and I see so many people who aren't good and I'm like, I just want you to be good too. Mm-hmm. How can I have more success? How can I get more? How can I get to my next level? It's just like I know it's not helpful, but it's just present.
Totally. Well, I mean, gosh, like so many things come up for me there, right? But I feel like one of the like threads that's present in what you just said is sort of this like, how dare I ask for more?
Yeah. Yeah, because I've always known exactly what I want. Like I've never ever before in my life had a hard time with that mm-hmm. question of like, what do you want? I always was like a proud manifester. And now I'm like, fuck, I don't know.
I also wonder too, and you know, I'm not trying to like put this, we're not like putting this thought out there, but I'm curious if this is like a feeling that's maybe there that it's even hard to express, but it's almost like you do have a pretty predominant desire right now of like a second child. So I wonder if it's also scary to ask for anything beyond that. Cause you're like, but I just want this. So yeah. It's like, I don't need to ask for more money or I don't need to ask for whatever. Like I just want this. So I wonder if there's something in that too, where it's like the permission to like still want other things alongside of that.
Yeah. Like that also makes me cry because that hits hard. That hits me really hard. I do think there's a lot of truth to that, that like bartering with God thing.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Yeah. I remember like my friend was losing a family member and I would hold her while she cried and she'd be like, I don't care if I ever find love. I don't care if I ever have a soulmate. I just want him to live. And it's the same kind of like human response of like, you know, like we can't have it all. And if I had to choose, like that's my choice.
Yeah.
And also I value it so much that like the other things also kind of like pale in comparison. Like if you were to offer me $100 million or a second baby, it's like a no brainer.
Yeah. I mean, I think that that's a helpful uncovering in terms of like, yeah, this is how big this other desire feels. So everything else kind of pales in comparison. But I still, and I'm curious what your thought is here. I still think that like, that's probably why it's the medicine, because it offsets some of the intensity in other areas, right? Of like, cool, that can still be my predominant one. I can be clear to that with God, the universe, myself, my business, all of that. And me finding other wants and desires within that helps me probably like release pressure to an extent, feel a little more engaged in other areas, feel a sense of wholeness.
I can get it. Now I can come up with a million things if it helps me get that.
Yeah,
because there's too much pressure, you know, and it's like, you know, when people tell you, oh, just relax and like, I think it's just like so irritating because it's biological, it's science.
Totally. It's not like you're just not relaxed enough. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like I tried that for like a long time. Thanks. And also, if I think about all the things that are really beautiful in my life, they all came to me without me needing to exert like the amount of energetic obsession and like borderline desperation.
Yeah.
It's like so unhealthy. Totally. You know, I definitely see that.
Well, it's even just like, honestly, unhelpful distraction sometimes, right? Like, it's not like you can't want that with your whole body and spirit, but sometimes your nervous system needs like a little distracted break from that too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe the question I should ask myself is, if you knew that a second baby was inevitable, what else would you want?
I think that would be perfect. Yeah. Because it makes sense that when you're just like, what do you want? You're like, fucking one thing. This is obvious, right? But it's like, okay, if you knew you were going to get that thing, what other doors unlock, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Then my answer would be like a multi-$7 million business. Yeah. Because I also trust myself to be a custodian of wealth. I don't trust that money in and of itself always brings out the best in people. But I fully trust myself that it doesn't take away from the good that I am and what I want for the world. Like I do, like that is a solid belief I have.
Does it feel like when you state that, that feels at all at odds with having a second baby, or it's not that at all? It just is that you didn't ever even think about it in that context.
Yeah. I think I've literally spent like January, February will be the fourth year of this journey. And I think it's just like tunnel vision.
Yeah.
You know, like I'm swimming and I'm wet and I don't even know what it's like to be dry. Anymore. So it's like, okay, like if you knew that you were going to get to shore, then what?
Yeah. And I think that might be really helpful because you need to feel like you're not drowning for a minute.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. And I think too, like money actually makes me feel more connected to the vision of a second baby, especially with the scaled business model, because it means I'll have more time with the baby. It means I can have like the live-in nanny and, you know, like not have to clean my house all the time and like all these other luxuries that would free up space and time and capacity for me to parent more than one child. And that is also very exciting to me because it allows me to just be present to the things that I love.
So good. This feels so juicy. Like, yes, that is what this can get you. So like Fertility Cocoon gets to be part of getting you that, you know?
In some ways, I feel like it's easier to get there with it. I don't know why. It just feels like sometimes when I market my own business coaching, there's some resistance around business coaching and like the intangibility of that and just dealing with like some of the like shitty stuff that's happened in our industry and like all of that. But when I think about the Fertility Cocoon, like it's just so cut and dry and it's so like tangible and it's so deliverable and it's so like, yes. And you don't have to convince anybody of anything. It's like, this is a problem you know you want to solve. This is easy. This is also like a no-brainer investment. Like all of that just feels like way easier for me to build even than my coaching business, which is interesting to me because it's been an effortless build. But I think the scaling piece now I'm feeling.
I think it makes sense in the context of like all the things you just said, you just don't have evidence for yet in the new coaching offer. Do you know what I mean? The like, I know it's a perfect deliverable. I know it's at a great price point. I know like you haven't even delivered it yet. So I think that, and like with Fertility Cocoon, you very much have delivered already. You have done beta testers, like all of that. And so, you know, there could be some simplicity in the fact that that's just the gap, right?
Yeah.
But I also think closing that gap of being like, I want the coaching business to feel like that too feels important as well.
Yeah, I really do. And I feel like the coaching business is more like my baby. And it's just like, it's a child I've been raising for a long time. So like, there's a lot of meaning there for me around that needing to continue to flourish and grow. And like, I am just obsessed with that work and I'm obsessed with doing that work. So like actually doing the work also makes me really excited.
Yeah. I mean, I sort of have the feeling that like, and you know, obviously tell me this is true, but like once you're doing it, like once you have a few people in there and you're doing it and you see the experience, I think it will match up with that quite quickly.
Yeah.
And then if it doesn't, obviously you address it then, but it seems like that's kind of the obvious solution right now. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah. Again, like if I asked myself, if you knew that the Mothered Business Mastermind a year from now was like wildly successful with lots of amazing experiences for people and was financially, you know, nourishing for you and your family, I'm like, oh my God, like that like gets me so, so, so excited. And a way I haven't felt in a long time because everything's been like so easy breezy.
I feel like to me, I mean, tell me if this feels good, but to me, I'm like, that is your work right now. Go have that vision. What does it look like when that's what the mothered business does? What, how much are you making? What does it look like? What does it feel like? What are you doing? How are you spending your days? Like, get so invested in that vision that you haven't let yourself go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like let myself want again.
And create visions around that again, right? Like, it's like, if I don't want, I can't even see it. But if I let myself want, then not only can I see it, I can like start to like feel it, touch it, taste it, make it a thing, you know?
Yeah. It's so funny. Up until 2020, every single thing on my vision board, every single year came true. And I was like, mm-hmm. so good at it. And then after this baby stuff, it's like everything on the vision board did not come true. Mm. And so now I'm like scared to like have a vision board. I'm scared to like choose a word of the year. I'm like scared to like put anything out there, because I'm like, yes. I'm going to get the opposite of it. Because that's the lesson I've learned over the last few years, that like, if I say I want joy, I get grief so that I can understand joy in relation to grief. If I say I want success, I taste failure because then I understand success in response to failure. Yeah. So now I'm like, fuck, what do I want? I'm scared to be like.
Right. You're almost like, but if I say scaled business, do I end up like working even more or whatever? Right.
Yeah. There's like a really big block for me.
I don't know if this is useful or not. And, you know, we could do this together if it feels helpful or not. But like, it almost might be worth it to go look at those with a different lens of like, how did some of this come true? Mm-hmm. Because I find it difficult to believe, although I take your word for it, that nothing on there for years came true, unless there was one thing on there.
Okay. I would say that like the thing that has come true every year is like financial success in my business. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's interesting because it's not even necessarily something I put on my vision board, because it's like, I didn't feel like I needed to feel more deeply into that vision, but maybe because it was there to like in the corner, it's like, yeah, I do think I'm like easily into the all or nothing thinking around baby stuff, because it's easy for it to be a big loss that like, or a big gap. Yeah.
Right. I guess that's kind of what I mean. Like, I think that like, it's possible that like that story isn't fully true and it's worth questioning it a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because yeah, I think you and I talked in Basecamp about like, okay, you no longer believe like everything happens for a reason and you get like exactly what you want when you say you want it, fair. But you also really believe, I think, in the power of desire and vision, and like how that kind of gives you the things that you know you'll make work and make beautiful in your life. And so I just wonder if like revisiting some of that and seeing how that's already true might be really helpful in just like reworking your relationship to like, why put something on my vision board if I'm going to get the opposite? Like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I have a core belief that I make ugly things beautiful, and I have a core belief that ugly things will always become beautiful.
Yeah.
And maybe it's even just like a reframe of acknowledging that.
Yeah. And going back to look at those through that lens, right? Like what became beautiful here could be like such a good way to look at it, because I do think that like, I mean, you're obviously like a big, big action taker. So it's not like you're not going to move forward, but I think to move forward in a way that doesn't become super self-sacrificing, you do have to renew that belief and that desire of it, you know?
Totally. I think like I need to just connect, like outside of even business or anything, like I need to connect with that part of myself.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Okay, so what do I want? If it was all going to be.
Yeah, like I want a list and shit. Like, I don't want you to just be like a great business. Like, I want a list or a vision board, whatever floats your boat. But I want some specifics. Yes.
Yeah. Okay. How big do you want me to go? Like 1 year plan, 2 year plan, 5 year plan?
I don't think that really matters so much. I would kind of just sit with what comes through. Like, if it feels like it's easier for you to get there when you think of 5 years, I would go there. If it feels like that's really too much for my brain right now, I would do one. I think like, we're almost like bringing back this version of you. So whatever path creates the most ease for her coming back, I think that is ideal. You know, there's not like a right answer here. There's just like that feeling, and you'll know that feeling in your body of like, ooh, my desire is alive again. And that feels good, you know?
Yeah. Yes. I miss that.
Yeah.
Okay. I will sit with that and connect to that deeply. And I'll probably have to just like allow my nervous system to like feel safe again with desire.
You might have to do this in segments too, right? Like it might be like 5 minutes you're thinking about it one time and then you revisit it later and whatever, because I do agree with you. Like I don't know that this is like a 2-hour vision board workshop kind of thing. Like that might spin your system out a little more than we want it to. So, you know, find your like edge there where you need a break. But I do think that like it's a little like exposure therapy-esque in a sense, mm-hmm. right? Like the more you kind of go there, you're like, oh yeah, it is kind of feel good to do this. Oh, okay, it was safe to do that. Like I think that will be useful.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like that it's going to take pressure off everything else too.
Good. All right. Well, keep me posted. Tell me what comes up.
Thank you.
I will share more thoughts on branding in Basecamp and we will go from there.
Cool. Thank you so much.
Beautiful. I'll talk to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to Literally. Your precious earbud time means the world to me, and I'm incredibly grateful that you chose to spend it with this podcast. Your feedback is not only valuable, but essential to me on this journey. So if you've enjoyed the podcast and found it beneficial, please take a moment to leave a review. And here's the best part. To express my gratitude, I'll select one lucky reviewer each month to receive my ultimate mini course to maximizing results in one-on-one coaching. If you want to be an in-demand coach who's known for creating those epic results and getting epic results in your own business because of it, then this course is for you, and you can grab the first module of it for free right now at alitoflife.com/mini course.